once again, we need to set the stage a little bit for what Paul is teaching in 1 Corinthians 7 and understand that he is talking to a church that was all about the gifts, all about excitement, all about the zeal, but not living a holy life. So know this, you can have a lot of gifts flowing, a lot of zeal happening, and a people be full of sin. And so Paul comes into this church and is supposed to clean it up as the apostolic authority there, okay? You're going to recognize in this, sometimes Paul says, this is what the Lord says, and sometimes Paul says, this is what I say. Which also shows, when we get into our teaching on Friday nights about apostolic authority, God allows the apostles or the overseers in churches to make certain traditions as long as it lines up with the Word of God. And so you're going to recognize that. So he was looking at that situation. And he's talking about very specific things in that church. One thing the enemy always tries to get me to do is to come up with policies because of somebody's wrong behavior or somebody, causing a problem or divisiveness. And it really takes a lot to stay spirit-led and not make laws. And so I just want you to know, there is a Bible principle and standard of everything that you do when you minister and when you counsel, but you have to have your wisdom from the Lord, especially as things get so intertwined and tangled up. It's like, Lord, how do we fix this where we're at right here? Now, here's the exciting thing about today, and for whoever's really listening to this, and this is the first time you've really gotten this teaching, this understanding. Today is a new day. Today is a new day. People use these scriptures to make divorced people in the church feel like there's no hope for you. You've committed the... I even was at a Bible study once, and when they asked what the unforgivable sin was, a person said, someone who divorces and remarries. And there used to be a radio show, and the guy's entire message was about divorce and how divorced people were going to hell. And I'm not going to say a name, but it was really big in this area. And to the point where it was preached over and over, day after day, that if you don't divorce, I mean, if you're remarried, you have to divorce that person and go back to the first person. Well, if you go to Deuteronomy 24, if you do that, you're under a curse. So that just totally breaks the power of that false teaching. So let's see, God, what do we do? Because you're looking at a holy God, all right? You're looking at a holy God who is very serious about intimacy and that relationship that represents oneness with God on the earth. You know, the natural reflection of a spiritual truth. So Satan's attacked it. So before we leave today, and anybody listening to this, hopefully, don't you really want to make sure this area is completely purged and cleansed and you can leave here starting brand new in God? And we've done this. If you've been with this ministry for since that last marriage conference 5 years ago, a lot of us have done this, and it's just awesome. But we have a lot of new people. We have a lot of new people listening. All right. So I just want you to understand, he is writing a letter to a church that's messed up, very spiritual, but not very mature. He calls them very flesh, very carnal. And so he's trying to fix some mess that they're dealing with. All right, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 5, 1, just so you can understand this a little bit. Here's part of what's going on in this church. It says, everywhere it is heard that fornication is among you, and such fornication which is not named among the heathen, as one is to have his father's wife. So obviously this isn't the same kind of presence of God in this church as in the church where Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead, is it? That's because of God's mercy. This church in Corinthians, I believe, was not this church was not an all-Jewish tradition in the background, from my understanding. So you got a lot of heathenistic practices coming in. So God's giving time in his mercy to fix it and clean it up. As God is restoring the church back to an apostolic church, in his mercy and his love, he's giving time for us to clean all this up. He's giving time for us to listen to this kind of teaching and repent and get it right and really know we're going to lean into the Lord and have godly marriages. Really know that things are going to change. See, unless you hear, not legalistically, but by the Spirit, the heart of God and the teaching of God, and have an understanding that you can grasp that the Holy Spirit can now use to change you and to convict you, God in His mercy, because He's so merciful, keeps on working with us and working with us. But we are believing that God is going to restore a powerful church. And I know that I've been asking to be part of that. Okay, so we see this. It says, and you are puffed up, verse 2, 1 Corinthians 5, and have not rather mourned that he that did this deed might be taken from your midst? And he talks about, even though I'm absent in the body, I'm present in the spirit. I've already judged the one who has worked out this thing as if I were present. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you being gathered together with my spirit also, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Okay, we're getting some deep stuff, and I really believe this is going to be restored to the church, where there's going to be such an apostolic spirit that Paul himself, I believe, was shown by God what was going on, and Paul was instructed by the Holy Spirit how to handle it and how to judge the situation. And we have churches now say, oh, we're not to touch other people's sin. Oh, it's okay. No. But it has to be done by the heart of God with mercy and love, not self-righteousness. We're not going to get into all that, but I just want you to understand there is coming to the church a cleansing where the people of God will gather together and release someone into the hands of Satan to get the sin out of their life. How many's ever been to that kind of meeting yet? It's going to come back to the church. So if you have a spouse who's supposedly a believer, and they're living like the devil, God's going to begin, as we mature, have the right heart, and we're not doing out of revenge, He's going to begin to instruct ways to bring this person to their senses, so to speak. Don't hear that one preached, but it's right there. All right. Now, as you see all of this, go to 1 Corinthians 6. Also, this does show it is okay. Go up a little bit. Okay. Go to 9. 1 Corinthians 5, 9. I wrote to you not to associate with fornicators, and not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with plunderers, or with idolaters, since then you must go out of the world. But now I wrote to you not to associate intimately with someone called a brother, who is a fornicator, covetous one, idolater, reviler, drunkard, plunderer, with such a one you're not to eat. For what is it to me also to judge the ones outside, but do you not judge those inside? God will judge the ones outside, and you shall put out from yourselves the evil one. All right, we're not getting into this a whole lot tonight. We're going to be preaching this, and I have preached it on a Friday night. Now think of the difference now. If you're having a problem with a Christian brother or sister, your spouse, and they're a drunkard, or they're plunderers, they're in idolatry, they're fornicators. Now, these are brothers. They say they're brothers. The church is instructed to put that one out. Not to tell the spouse you got to stay in that relationship, but to, oh, that's controlling. No, that's caring about that person's soul. This is blatant practiced sin that the church comes in. Instead, we have people doing these things who are deacons, elders, pastors, bishops, in their own eyes anyway. And God says, no, this is not how it's going to be. That's why the church is being shaken. That's why churches are losing finances. That's why God's going to bring it down. There's going to be a holy people who'll do things according to God's word. Now, this can't be revenge. This can't be, oh, we don't want this kind of reputation in our church. This is the Lord saying, look, I want this person saved. So the church needs to confront this brother or sister in love and say, this kind of activity cannot happen here. And we've done that at this church. We've had people who fell for each other and then crossed the lines into sexual sin that we had to sit down and say, don't be alone together. If you continue to fornicate, you're not welcomed here. We love you, you know. And we had one situation where they actually got married secretly because they didn't want to be thrown out of the church. So then when they got caught together, they pulled out the marriage license. Now, I'm not saying that's the way to do it. That's totally started the whole thing in deception, and God has to work it. But I have to give them a little bit of fear of the Lord. I don't know why they just didn't go ahead and get married and tell everybody. I think they were afraid to tell the parents. But at least God's going to honor that little bit of fear of the Lord that was there, that says, you know what? I cannot be a part of a true fellowship that loves God and go to church and be a fornicator when I walk out the doors. See, the truth is, people aren't, we may not have the fastest growing church. Not that we may not, we don't have the fastest growing church. We may possibly have one of the slowest growing churches where there really is the word of God and the anointing that I've ever seen. But I will say, the people who stick it out have hearts to be holy. And they believe the word and they love the word and they love God and they get into God. And they're not judged as they're dealing with issues, but they know they got to get to the other side of the issue. And we're here to help them get there, not to throw them out and tell them there's no hope for them. But hypocrites, I will say this, hypocrites do not stay here long. Hypocrites don't stay here long. You don't have to say anything to them. They don't like this kind of preaching. I pray that some of the young people that should be here that aren't here isn't because they want to be fornicators and they don't want to hear truth. But if that's the case, at least they have enough fear to know, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to hear truth, which means they already know the truth, which means the Holy Spirit's not going to quit reminding them. It's time for the church to be holy for the sake of the people, for the sake of the witness of Christ. All right. So it's not judging someone when you point out their sin and when you know there's consequences to sin, okay? It's to help them. All right, go on. Let's go down to get to this one we're getting to. Verse 15 and 6. 1 Corinthians 6, 15. Actually, go up to 13. The second half, sorry. But the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord, and he will raise us up through his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Then taking the members of Christ, shall I make them members of a harlot? Let it not be. Or do you not know that he being joined to a harlot is one body with her? It says the two shall become into one flesh. Do you understand what this is saying? This is saying every time you have sex with someone in the spirit realm, you are called one with them. It's not a little thing. There is a transference of spirits. There is opening the way for all kinds of curses and sickness and all these things. It's supposed to be a really holy and pure, pure thing between one man and one woman for life. Now, they have problems with the Corinthian church because he's preaching this to the church people. Get your teenagers here this fall. Don't let your teenager just say, I don't want to go to youth group. I don't want to do that. Because, no, we're not. We do some fun things. But I'm not as concerned. I think kids in America today have lots of fun. I don't think that's the real problem. I don't think they're sitting around going, oh, gosh, there's nothing fun in my life. I think they're running to the movie, they're running bowling, they're going to the amusement parks, they're going to restaurants, they're hanging out with friends, they're watching TV with friends, they're listening to music. I think they have lots of fun. So I don't really care if they have fun here. I want them to hear the truth with the right heart so that the Holy Spirit convicts them every single time they even start to watch that kind of television show. My son Michael was a little in rebellion last year, and I don't know to what degree it's not in my bit, but I know this, he was miserable and taking it out on me. And John's like, he's so miserable. He's so dry. I said, he's supposed to be. He's under conviction. If he's not miserable, he's hard-hearted. All you have to say to your kids when they're having a hard time is, you know, you can get right with God whenever you want. We've pampered them. We've tried to take away the pain of conviction. You ought to pray. God, convict them. I don't want to have to get to the point to turn them over to Satan so they're in some horrible situation, almost on deathbed, so that their soul will be saved. Pray that they're miserable till they get right with God. Yeah, that's really hard for us. It's really hard for us to want to see anyone that we love miserable, right? But then we become such enablers, and we get in the way of God really letting them be miserable. All we're supposed to do is shine the light. Keep the doors of communication open. Walk in love. But we should have a whole lot more miserable youth if we were honest about how much fornication is going on than what we have. They shouldn't be able to go and act all holy in church when they walk out the door and they're making out in the parking lot. Something is wrong. And I don't care about anybody's spiritual experience. If they're not living a holy life, I completely don't believe that your religious experience glorifies God. And it very well could be counterfeit, which will take you into confusion, maybe lose your mind, all kinds. Don't ever go by if there's manifestations or you think you hear God to tell you you're okay. You go by if God is convicting you and changing you and causing you to be holy because he's holy. It's not about actions. It's about God inside of you. Has anybody here ever been in sin and God inside of them made him feel good about it? If I even say something wrong that has the wrong spirit to it, and nobody else even picks it up but God, he makes me feel bad about it. I mean, quickly. I've learned not to blame anybody. I've learned not to go to bed with that uneasy feeling that God puts in there. You know, if we would learn to do that, we wouldn't get to the point of not even knowing what it is that God is trying to deal with, because we've let it go for so long that now we're trying to, you know, drink or party or run, or you wonder, I don't know why I just don't have the love for God anymore. Because somewhere along the way, you did your own thing. He tried to work in you. He tried to change it, and you didn't let him. See, hard-heartedness means, do you understand hard-heartedness? It means God tries to get to you in that area, but you put up a wall. God tries to get to you, and till you finally are so hidden behind that wall, you don't even know that you and God aren't walking together. You don't even know that God was trying to get through to you. Let me tell you something. God never changes his mind. What he thought was sin in your life last week, if you don't deal with it, it'll still be sin in your life next year if you don't deal with it. It's just the consequences get bigger and bigger and bigger.